have something on my heart that I feel the Lord wants me to share today, so I'm excited to do that. Well, I had something on my heart that I felt the Lord wanted me to share last week, but I was sick last week, so you have to wait, which is handy because I'm preaching on waiting, which is good, so you've all been waiting for this sermon. Let's pray. Father, we bless you for today, Lord God. We bless you for what you've already been doing in our midst, Father God, in your worship, Lord God. We love you, Father. We absolutely love you, Lord God. And we just want to treasure the time that we get to spend in your word, Father. And trust that you'll speak to us. Trust that you'll speak to our hearts, that you have something that you want us to hear today, Lord God. So we just open our ears up, Lord God, and we just say we want to receive from you, Lord God. I pray you'd speak through me, Lord, the things I've prepared, Lord God, that would match, Lord, the moving of your Holy Spirit this morning in people's lives, Lord God. And we'd leave here transformed, encouraged, changed, Lord God, equipped to be the people who you've called us to be. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So I'm going to speak from Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 31. If you want to turn there in your Bibles, or there should be a slide there, Mal, if you want to put it up, it's there in Pro Presenter. We probably all know it. It says this, you probably learned it in Sunday school if you grew up as a Christian. It says, "They who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up on wings like eagles. They shall run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint." Have we all heard that verse before? The Message version says it like this: "Those who wait upon God get fresh strength. They spread their wings and soar like eagles. They run and don't get tired, and they walk and don't lag behind." Okay, so I want to just delve into this verse this morning and see what it is that the Lord would say to us through it, and what it can mean to us, and what we can take out of it today. It was based on, I think I remember this song from when I was a kid. Yeah, did anyone grow up in like Sunday school and remember that song that's like, "Those who wait on the Lord shall renew"? I'm embarrassing myself now. There's like this clappy bit in the middle of it. And but anyway, so I tend to remember song lyrics easier than I remember Bible verses. So it's handy when they're put together. But there's this great promise in it. It's like that those who wait on the Lord will renew their strength. It's great because I bet you in some area of your life or other this morning, you need your strength renewed, yeah? In some area, whether it's family situations, financial situations, work, and whether you're just weary and tired, I find myself over the past couple of weeks saying I'm tired more than I've said anything else. It just keeps coming out of my mouth. I yawn and I go, "I'm tired, oh, I'm wrecked." It just keeps coming out. And it's very easy to get worn out and worn down or to face situations that we just don't feel we have the strength for. But God's promise this morning is that when we wait on him, that he'll renew our strength, okay? That's the promise. The strength is there for us, but the catch, if you can even call it a catch, is that we have to wait on God, okay? And as human beings, I know specifically as a man or as an impatient man, waiting isn't something that I really like to do, yeah? Anyone here like waiting, like queuing at a bank or like sitting behind a tractor on a country road or something like that? I can go from like perfectly normal, like stress-free Rob to like blood-boiling Rob in like split second. This morning, I nearly swore at someone because they took like 2 seconds too long to go through a green light and I nearly missed the green light. So it's like I go from like normal to like completely mad. Actually, one time I've worked on my road rage over time, but a couple of years back, like I lost a head at someone who was like in front of me in traffic, okay? And I was on my way to church and I lost a head at someone who was in front of me and like shouting at them and all that sort of stuff. And then like this cold sweat developed over me as they took every turn heading towards the church that we were going to as well, right? And they drove like right the way there and I'm like, they're going to park outside and I'm going to have to get out and explain and all that anyway. But then they drove past. But the Lord taught me then, be patient, Rob. Don't do that stuff. Okay, but we all know what it's like to wait, yeah? Does anyone, everyone has a friend, one friend who's always late, yeah? Hands up if you have a friend who's always late. Yeah, if your hand isn't up, that's because you are the friend who's always late, yeah? No one has told you yet. That's what you need to hear this morning in this sermon. The outcome from this sermon, get a watch, be on time. Because you're wrecking everyone's head. No, I'm only messing. But waiting on the Lord, that's something that we all need to do, but we don't like to wait. In fact, it's the worst, it can seem like the worst thing to do. We want to be proactive, we want to be doing something, we want to be like making some move ourselves, but God has told us to wait on him, and when we wait on him, he'll renew our strength. One time I got stuck in a lift one time down in UCD. I was with Rabin was there, and I think Stefan was there, so-called mates who were with me, who just kind of sat outside, like, they come up to the lift when I was stuck, and they'd be like, "You all right, Rob?" And then thinking I can't hear them walking away laughing, do you know what I mean, out the other side. It's like it's only a door between us, like, thinking that I'm deaf. But anyway, I got stuck in this lift. We were getting a load of chairs from UCD, and we all went down in this lift, and we were getting out, and as we got out, one of the chairs hit the door, and the lift kind of freaked out, and the door went a bit like this, and then closed, and then pressed all the buttons, wouldn't open, tried tried reefing it apart, couldn't do it. It was stuck, okay? So I'm sitting there, and again, the guys are outside laughing, pretending to be concerned. And so I'm stuck there, right? And I was like, okay, Rob, don't panic. I looked around, and I tried pressing all the buttons, and then I seen there was like an emergency button, okay? There's like an emergency call button that puts you through to whoever, the engineers or something. So I press this, and I'm like, okay, don't panic. I'll press this, and they'll get me sorted. I press it, okay? And a girl answers, okay? And I'll never forget the tone of her voice. I'm like, hello, I'm in UCD. I'm stuck in a lift, okay? Now, this is the woman whose job it is to answer the phone to people who are stuck in lifts, okay? And I'll never forget the surprise in her voice. She goes, you're stuck in a lift? And I was like, yeah, I'm stuck in a lift. Like, this shouldn't surprise you. It's your job to answer the phone to people who are stuck in lifts, okay? And, you have one job, okay? So I'm expecting her, okay, don't worry, here's what to do. But instead, she's panicked. She's like, what are we going to do? And so anyway, you're stuck. And I was like, okay, so I explained to her, I'm after pressing this button, and it's put me through to you, okay? So you need to do something. And then I hear her going, okay. And her voice went muffled, so she, like, covered the receiver. And I hear her asking around the office, lads, there's a guy stuck in a lift here. What do we do, okay? And so someone gives her an answer, and she's like, okay, we'll have an engineer out to you. And I'm like, okay, cool, how long will that be? She's like, well, it could be an hour or two before they get out. And I'm like, I'm stuck in this lift for an hour or two before you get back. And eventually, Jay Masterson, who was there and was like working in UCD, he got someone to come down in like 20 minutes, and they left me out. But in that kind of window of sitting there, okay, and sitting there waiting, I never felt so like helpless or powerless. You don't want to feel that as a bloke, okay? You want to feel, I'm looking around, picturing myself kind of diehard style. I'll get out through the roof, and I'll climb the cables, and there'll be explosions going off, and I'll be in a vest, and I don't know. And we'll get out the top, or like I'll break the lift up, and I'll get out. But instead, I just had to sit and wait for someone, okay? But there's situations in our lives where you're just going to have to sit and wait for someone. You're going to just have to wait for something to happen where you're powerless to do anything. I couldn't do anything there in that situation. I was powerless. I would much prefer to be the rescuer than the rescuee. Yeah, I would have loved to think my way out of it or fix my way out of it. But there's situations that we face that we're not meant to fix, that God is meant to fix, yeah? And eventually I get out of the lift, okay, and my concerned friends were sitting there eating ice creams, right? They're like licking on 99s, except Rabin wasn't eating. Rabin was eating broccoli or something like that. I don't know what he was doing, a protein shake or something. But but there's situations that we can get ourselves into, okay? And I want you to think through your life this morning. There's situations that you're probably in this morning that you would like to be able to fix. You'd like to do something, and then it's fixed, and I'm out of the situation. But the fact is that there's situations that you need God to fix. That God has arranged situations that you look to him, and when you look to him, when you wait on him, that he'll renew your strength and that the situation will change, okay? Because there's things that only God can fix, because you're not meant to fix, you're meant to look to God. And it's not like you're stuck in this situation and you're on the phone to some dozy young one who's like, what, you're stuck in a little... It's like you're on the phone or you're talking to God, who knows exactly where you're at this morning, yeah? He knows exactly what you're facing. God isn't surprised by your situation. He's not surprised by the things you're facing. He's not surprised by the things that have happened to you. He's not taken by surprise. He's not panicked. He's not asking around the office, asking the angels, what do we do here? God knows exactly what his plans and his purposes are for you, yeah? He knows. He knows where you're at, and he knows the way out of where you're at. And he's saying that the strength is for those who'll wait for the Lord, yeah? And the word wait in Hebrew isn't just about sitting around waiting and doing nothing. It's a word about that talks about seeking God. It talks about hoping with certainty. In fact, another translation says those who hope in the Lord, yeah? It means waiting patiently, as in trusting that God will come through when it's God's timing to come through, but looking to God in it all. And it means to rest trustfully. So it means that in the middle of your situation, if you're waiting on God, that you can be at rest, not full of anxiety and tense and when is this going to happen, but to be able to rest, but a rest that comes from trust in God. That's what that word wait means. It means to wait patiently. It means to hope with certainty, because the Bible tells us that hope doesn't disappoint us, yeah? And it means to rest trustfully. So if you're facing something this morning and you're not at rest in it, yeah? If you don't know what it is to wait with patience, or you don't know what it is to hope with that certainty that God's going to come through, if there's doubt and fear filling your mind, then I want to pray for us at the end, and I want us to begin to wait on the Lord, begin to put our trust in him, to look to him, to see who it is that's promised us this strength to get us through. Amen? and then to renew. So it's like those who wait on the Lord will renew their strength. To renew is the same word that it would be like to change your clothes, like to put on some new garments, to take off the old things, the old way of thinking, the old self-sufficient ways of doing it, and to put on something new, a new attitude, a new way of thinking, a new way that says that we're going to wait patiently on the Lord, we're going to hope with certainty, and we're going to rest trustfully in our God, okay? So I want to jump back to the Bible, and I want us to look again at this verse and just unpack it kind of bit by bit. So we've seen those who wait on the Lord will renew their strength, that if you need your strength renewed, the key to it is waiting on the Lord. But there's three ways that he says that it'll work out. It says, they will mount up with wings like eagles, they will run and not be weary, and they will walk and not faint, okay? Rise up on wings like eagles, run and not be weary, walk and not faint. So one by one, let's start with the eagles bit. It says they will rise up or soar on wings like eagles. And to me, that speaks about when we wait on the Lord. It speaks about, you know, eagles fly high. It speaks about having like heaven's perspective, okay? So it speaks of being able to see things from God's perspective and the rest that comes and the strength that comes when we begin to see things how the Lord sees them. We begin to see our situations through the Lord's eyes and the things we're facing through the resource of heaven that backs up this calling that we have. And eagles are symbolics of like kind of freedom and of power and of things like that. So to soar on wings like eagles to me means to kind of get above our situations. But the word used, the Bible uses the word soar when it talks about eagles. Did you know that there's a difference between flying and soaring? Did you ever hear that? There's a difference between like flying, they're both types of flying, but we're not talking flying here where you like flap your wings. Remember that Flappy Bird game where it's like panicked kind of like flapping and trying not to smack into things. And very often our lives can be like that, a panicked kind of going from situation to situation and flapping and using all our energy. But when the Bible talks about eagles, like rising on wings like eagles, it's not like about rising in our own strength, it's about soaring, okay? And so I looked up what the difference was between them, and there's a couple of different types of soaring, okay? And the first one is through things called thermals. Have you ever heard of a thermal? And basically what happens is this, is like the sun warms the ground, okay? So the sun warms the ground, and have you ever been wearing like a black t-shirt on a sunny day and it gets like extra hot? It's like dark things get hotter than brighter things, okay? They absorb more heat. So as the sun warms the ground, where there's dark bits of ground, they get hotter than the bits of ground beside them, okay? And then they heat up the air that's like above those dark bits of ground, and that air rises like it would rise in a hot air balloon, okay? So you've got all these, like wherever there's dark kind of bits of ground, you've got these rising currents of air that just rise up. And what eagles have learned to do, or what eagles have been designed to do, is to identify these things, and they just angle their wings into these thermals, these rising air currents, and they're lifted like this. You ever seen a falcon or something literally just rising like this kind of a thing? They're soaring up on these thermal kind of, these thermal waves, or these thermal, yeah, flows of air, currents. And what I want to get at is that they're not. It's not, when we talk about soaring on wings of eagles, it's not about flapping or going in our own strength. It's about utilizing what God has already put around us, yeah? That you can't see those thermal currents, but eagles have learned to recognize them. They've learned to flow into them, and when they do, they're raised above their situations, yeah? When they do, they use that to lift them up. So they're using things that God has orchestrated all around them to lift them up. And I'm convinced that as we open our eyes to what God is doing in our lives, that we will be lifted, yeah? That God is at work in ways that you just haven't seen yet in your life. I want to tell you this is 100% true. God is at work in your life. I want to tell you this, and the situation that you're facing, that you're struggling with, 100% God is there and is at work in that situation, because God is at work all around us. And what we need to do is to focus on what it is that God's doing and learn to utilize that to lift us out, rather than utilizing our own strength or utilizing trying to struggle and trying to scheme and find ways out of it. We need to wait on the Lord. See the things that are unseen, yeah? And be lifted up out of those situations. The Bible describes the Holy Spirit as the wind of God. Yeah? The pneuma, the Holy Spirit is described as the breath or as the wind of God. And it's that work of the Holy Spirit that we can lift on, that we can soar on, yeah? When the wind of God blows, if we can learn how to face into that wind rather than running away from that wind, if we can learn how to shape our lives and our responses and our attitudes as to face into that, then we'll be lifted above our situations and we'll be able to see things from God's perspective and we'll be lifted. And aside from thermals, okay, this is cool. I'm a bit of a geek, so I love this stuff. Aside from thermals, there's these other kind of lifts called ridge lift or wave lift, okay? And a while back, well, probably about 15 years ago, or when was it, 2000? Yeah, 14, 15 years ago, I was in the Alps, okay? And in college, I did a bit of rock climbing and that sort of stuff, and we were in the Alps for a month, and we used to look up at the mountains. We were in around Mont Blanc in a place called Chamonix in France, and we'd look up at the mountains, and there'd be these big paragliders, like just going around and around the mountains, and they'd stay up there for hours. And I used to wonder, how can they stay up there for so long? Because like a parachute just kind of floats down, yeah? But it's like they'd be coming down, and then they'd turn in a certain way, and they'd start to lift again, okay? And there's this other kind of an air current called a ridge lift, or a wave lift. The paragliders call it slope soaring, which is this. Picture this. The wind is blowing along this way, okay? And picture this is a mountain, right? As the wind is blowing along this way, when it hits the mountain, when it comes right to it, it has nowhere to go but up, yeah? So it's like you get this current of wind coming along, and then it just rises up right at the face of the mountain. So these paragliders have learned, turn right into the mountain, and as you turn into it, you're going to get that lift right the way up and over it, okay? And as a preacher, when I'm reading this stuff on Wikipedia, I'm like, this stuff preaches itself, do you know what I mean? Because we talk about mountains all the time. That's one of the things Christians love talking about, mountains and valleys and deserts and all that sort of geographical stuff. But like the mountains that you're facing in your life, yeah, the big things that you're facing in the life, things that you can't see your way over, the things that maybe you've avoided, what if God has made it that as you face them and as you come up to them, in the strength of God, that there's a way built into them that's over it, that the mountain itself has a way for you to get over it. Like built into that mountain is the fact that the air has to flow up and over it. And I'm convinced when the Holy Spirit, when the breath of God comes in contact with that mountain, that it lifts over it, it rises over it. And if we're with it, we lift over and we rise over it. But what does that mean? That means that you need to turn and you need to face that mountain, yeah? You need to go into it confident, waiting in the Lord, that God will rise you over. That built into that situation is the activity of God that can rise you over. So eagles come flying towards mountains, and you might think they're going to crash, but as they come flying towards them, they know the closer I get to this, the stronger that lift is going to be. So as they come right up to the mountain, then the lift is there to rise them up and over it. That's what it means to soar on wings like eagles. Not flapping and trying to climb it yourself or struggling to climb it up on the rock face or whatever, is recognizing that God is moving in all our situations, all around the place. And if we seek him, if we try to discern, God, where are you at work in this? And how can I step into where you're at work? When you step into where he's at work, then we have that lift, okay? Now, here's another cool thing. I told you this sermon preached itself. There's a third kind of thermal column, or a third kind of like current that lifts. And handily enough, these happen in desert places. You couldn't make this up, could you? This happens like in a desert place, okay? Again, we love talking about. And this is called convergence, okay? And what convergence basically happens is if there's a wind coming from this side and there's a wind coming from that side, then when the two winds come together, they're forced up in the air, okay? So it's like one's coming this way and one's coming that way and they're forced up in the air. And what are desert places? So you might be facing a mountain. Some of us love facing mountains, love the challenge, love that sort of stuff. It motivates us. Other of us would struggle, and those people would struggle more so when life is just in a desert place, when it's just dry, when there's no challenge, when you've lost your purpose or you've lost a sense of meaning, life has become kind of just humdrum, routine, daily get up, go to work, come home, go to bed, daily get up, go to work, come home, go to bed, like just a pattern, and you're like, where are we going in life? Well, I just feel dry, I just feel I'm not where I should be with God, I just feel like ministry isn't where I thought it would be, this Christian life isn't what I thought it would be, and we all get to places like that. And I'm convinced that even in those places, God is orchestrating circumstances and situations that you can't see, that there can be a lift that comes, yeah? Or even if you're in a storm, if you're in one wind, okay, and you're coming along, when that wind meets the breath of God, meets the Holy Spirit wind, then there's a lift again. What I'm saying is, in all these situations, there's an opportunity to soar on wings like eagles, which means to be lifted above your situation. But more than that, means to utilize what God is already doing around you. Yeah. So the key thing, we're back to what the first part of the verse said, is those who wait on the Lord will renew their strength. The only way you're going to know what God is doing is if you wait on him. Yeah. Is if you ask him, is if you look to him. It's like, God, where are you working in this situation that I'm just banging my head off a brick wall in this relationship where I don't know where it's going? Father, where are you working in this? And when the Holy Spirit reveals that to you and he guides you into all truth in that, then there's the possibility to use that resource of heaven to be lifted above, to see your strength renewed and to see things from heaven's perspective. That God's in the desert with you. God's facing the mountain with you, and God's in every situation that's in your life. God is good, yeah? God is moving, and we have the potential to rise up on wings like eagles, which is absolutely incredible. If you need to hear that this morning, take a hold of it. Face into your mountain, face into that season you're at in the desert, confident that God is even there. Face into whatever it is that you're facing, knowing that God is with you. The second promise is this, that they will run and not grow weary. So we go from flying down to running. They'll run and not grow weary. To me, this talks about finding like the pleasure in life. I used to have this dream, okay, that I could like run and run and run. Anyone ever else have that dream, no? That you could just, like be in Glendalough or something, for some reason, I don't know why. But I could like just run and run and run and like no tiredness, no wreck, no muscle pain, no whatever. And it was like a really like enjoyable dream, and it's so vivid. Anyone ever have a dream that's so vivid, like you feel it? I would actually, I know it sounds crazy, but I would actually say I know what it feels like to run and not grow weary because I've dreamt it. But it was like such a vivid, real dream. Now, in reality, I'd fall in a heap running for a bus, okay? So that's the distance between our dreams and our reality. I used to have these other dreams there when my legs wouldn't work. Anyone have that dream where your legs won't work and you're stuck in Liffey Valley in your underwear or something like that? And your legs are just jelly, and maybe that's too much of an insight into my psyche. But I would have these dreams, yeah, sometimes where I could run and run and run like an Irish Forrest Gump, just like running and running and running. No stress, no, like just like effortless. And it's like a real like kind of pleasureful feeling. It's like a good feeling to be able to run and not grow weary. And this verse to me speaks about finding that pleasure in life, yeah? That when you're weary, you stop enjoying things. And Christian life can be like that we get weary. We get to a place where we're operating in our own strength, yeah, rather than in the strength of the Lord that comes from waiting on him. And inevitably, we grow weary. We lose the enjoyment of it. We start out maybe doing ministry or doing this Christian life or being just trying to be a Christian in the workplace or wherever it is that you're at, you know what I mean? That we live this Christian life and there's an excitement in it for a while. And then after a while, we grow weary and it grows tiresome. And but I'm convinced that our life doesn't have to be like that. In fact, there's another verse that talks about the strength of God, and it says, his joy will be our strength. That our inheritance should be joy in the doing. You know, that in Hebrews 12:1 it says this. It says, let us run, so this idea of running, with endurance the race that's set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. It's this idea that there's a race marked out for you that you're meant to run, yeah? And that there's a reward at the end. There's a joy that's set before you, like there was a joy that's set before Jesus. But also that there's the founder and the perfecter of our faith is Jesus. That Jesus is alive in us and that his joy should be our strength. And if you've lost your joy in the middle of all of that, I want to tell you the key is this, is to look to God. The key is to wait on the Lord and to renew your strength. The key isn't to give up. Don't feel like giving up or giving in or packing it all in. But wait on the Lord. Look to Jesus and he'll renew your strength. Jesus promises us, you know, he talks in the Sermon on the Mount. He says, come to me if you're weary or if you're heavy laden and I'll give you rest for your soul. He says, take my yoke upon me and learn from me, for I'm gentle and humble in heart, and you'll find rest for your souls. That's his promise, that's his offer to us, that we shouldn't be weary, but we should be at a place of rest, we should be at a place where we're strengthened, but that comes from coming to Jesus. Again, the hardest thing sometimes in the world for us to do is to actually wait on God, to just stop the struggle and stop the self-effort and just like take a step aside and wait on God. Now, God might send you into doing some sort of a struggle and some sort of self-effort, but it's important that it originates with what God has said to you, yeah? But his yoke is easy and his burden is light and his joy will be your strength. And God wants us to enjoy life. I think sometimes we think that Christianity should all be about like penance and hard times and whatever, but there should be a joy in what we're doing. Even Paul, when he suffered, he says, I count it pure joy to have gone through this stuff for the sake of the gospel, for the sake of the calling that I have. That there should be a joy and an enjoyment in your life. You should be running and not growing weary. So if you're weary today, the promise is that there's strength for that, yeah? To enjoy what you're doing. I'm going to speak in a couple of weeks around rest and finding times in our life to identify the things that we're doing. We all take on things as Christians and we take on things after things and then we get weary. And there's a time that we need to prune stuff and there's a time we need to look at what is it that God wants me to do right now, yeah? Because everything that you might be doing, even if you think it's godly, mightn't be from God or of God. So I want us to look at that in coming weeks, how we prune and find ourselves in the middle of what it is that God wants us doing in the now, yeah? So I won't go into that now. But so the first one was about finding heaven's perspective. Second is about finding heaven's pleasure. And then the third one, to keep them going with P, to walk and to not faint, to me is about just finding heaven's perseverance to keep going, okay? And I always, if I'm honest, I always found this third one the most kind of like underwhelming out of the three, okay? Because it sounds pretty cool to rise up on wings like eagles, yeah? Sounds pretty cool to be able to run and not grow weary, but to walk and not faint isn't very inspiring. Like, not being bad around, I can already walk and not faint, okay? I'm not fainting at the moment when I'm walking. I can do that already. And, like, the first two kind of, they sound like superpowers or something. I'm a bit of a geek, as I said, so I like X-Men movies and all that stuff. So it sounds like, you know, some guy who can fly with big wings like eagles or some guy who can run and not grow weary. But no one is watching a movie about a guy who can walk and not faint, okay? Or no one's buying that comic book. Like, this week, like, the hiker walks and... walks and doesn't faint again. It's like, okay, that's what happened last week. The walk, what does it mean to walk and not faint? What's that? What's that all about? Well, I think, as I waited on the Lord describes our Christian journey. It describes this process of becoming more like Jesus as what? As a walk. Yeah, it says in Ephesians 2:10 that we're his workmanship created in Christ Jesus to do good works. We've looked at that before, which God created before so that we should walk in them. Where his workmanship, there's a purpose for you, and there's a purpose for your life. Remember, we looked at that. There's a purpose that God created before he created you. You're shaped to fit that purpose that he had in mind before he even created you. But what's that purpose for? That you have things that you're meant to walk in, a journey that you're meant to go on, steps that you're meant to take, putting one foot after the other. There's a calling on your life. And in particular, I feel that this strength, okay, if one strength is to kind of rise above situations, another is to find the joy again, I think this strength is to continue to persevere in the ordinary things that we have to do kind of day in, day out. The small things and the unseen things and the things that you do that no one's giving you applause for or that no one's patting you on the back for, the things that are going on and the things where maybe you've got it in your life where you're like, sure, what's the point of all this? No one cares and no one sees. I believe the Lord would want you to know this morning that God cares and that God sees and that God knows what you're doing and that nothing goes unseen by him and that God commends you. The time that you put into your family, the times that you sacrifice and go without so that other people can have, the times you pray for your neighbors, the times you pray for your family, the times you do all those things that go unseen. The daily walk of being a Christian, the ordinary things that are actually extraordinary, but the things that we do day in, day out, I believe that there's strength for those for you today. Galatians 6:9 says, let us not be weary in doing well, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Let us not be weary in doing well, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Sometimes we just need to persevere in things, yeah? We need to just go through the things that God has us doing, the kind of daily grind of things, the getting up early for work and the going there and the investing in your kids and family and the ministry that you're committed to and all those kind of things. Because God is looking for faithful people. He promises this, if you're faithful, God will make you fruitful, yeah? That the fruit comes from God. If we're faithful to what he's called us to do, the fruit comes from God, the growth comes from God, the increase and the multiplication comes from heaven. Because for those who wait on the Lord will renew their strength. So I just encourage you to keep moving forward. Keep walking at the pace that God enables you to do. Keep putting one foot in front of the other. So, because some of us are at a place now where we don't maybe need strength for the extraordinary or we don't have something big we're facing, but just the daily grind of things has us in a stage where we're feeling faint. Yeah, we're feeling worn out. We're feeling tired with it. But the promise is this, that those who wait on the Lord will what? Will renew their strength. Yeah? That there's strength for you today. There's absolutely strength for you today. If you're feeling like this life is too much of a slog and like packing it all in, you don't have to because there's strength for you today. The finish, there's three types of strength we've looked at there, yeah? One, like soaring on eagle's wings, recognizing what it is that God's doing and learning to face into that, to face into those mountains, to face into whatever it is we're facing in the desert place, to learn to recognize where God is moving. And as we angle ourselves into that we can soar and be lifted, not in the realm of self-effort, but in the realm of what God is doing all around us. The second one was finding heaven's pleasure. That if you're running and you're growing weary in the running, that God wants you to have pleasure and enjoyment and fulfillment in the things that you're doing. He wants you to know that resource of strength filling you up. And then the third is just heaven's perseverance where life's been a bit of a slog, a bit of a hard going for a while and you're feeling faint. But there's a promise that there's strength for you today. Absolutely strength for you today. So do you need to avail of them this morning? Do you need to rise above those situations? Have you lost joy in running the race and you need to kind of like get back on track and find that joy in it again? Or do you need perseverance just to keep going through the things that you're doing kind of daily? Well, God's offer is this. Wait on me, look to me, and they're yours. wait on me. I'm going to pray for us in a moment. And when I do, I want to pray and release it over us. But the key is in the waiting. I can pray for you, but I can't make you wait on God. Yeah? Like, people, you could pray for me, but like, what happens when I leave here? Do I go and do I actually wait on God? Do I take the time out to ask God, where are you moving in this situation? What are you doing in this situation? And let me tell you, I'm not proclaiming to have this all fixed. In fact, every time I end up waiting on God, I'm surprised at how long it took me to actually do it, yeah? That I go through all sorts of other things, all sorts of other self-effort and stuff. Now, over time, the gap has gotten shorter between when I'm facing a problem and I go and wait on God, yeah? But I still go through this pattern of kind of like turning to God. And it's like God is content to be our last resort rather than our first resort. But whenever you wait on God, here's been my experience. Whenever I turn to him, I find him like that prodigal son, you know, like the prodigal son coming and the father is coming running to meet him. It's like that God is just waiting for us. Like, we should be waiting on God, but it's like God is like waiting for us to just take that even slight turn towards him, and we find him coming running to embrace us, to take a hold of us, to give us strength for the things that we need to face. We need to be dependent on the Lord. See, since the garden, it's been independence that's been our problem, yeah? That we chose that we want to choose what's right and wrong. We want to do stuff, and we want to be like God in that regard. But we need his dependence on God, to let God be God and us be us. And you're in situations this morning that only God can get you out of. Only God can get you through. Only God can give you strength for. The key is to turn to him and wait on him. So I will pray for us, but the key is, what are you going to do when you leave here? What are you going to do when you face into that situation Monday morning, Tuesday morning, Wednesday morning? Are you going to wait on God? Are you going to form a pattern in your life where you say that, I value you first and foremost, God. I want to know where you're moving in my life, in my situation, in my workplace, in my family, in my financial situation. I want to soar. I want to run. I want to walk and not grow weary. I want all those things, but they come from whether or not you wait on the Lord. I'm going to pray for us. But before I do, I don't want to let this moment pass. I don't know if there's anyone new here or anyone who doesn't yet know God. And it could be like, you're hearing me talk and you're like, Rob, what do you mean hearing from God? What do you mean waiting on God? What do you mean communing with God or experiencing his presence or those kind of things we're talking about? What are you on about? The fact is that God wants to know you. God absolutely wants to know you. You know that you don't know him yet, but the good news is that you can know him, that God has gone through every length possible to make it happen that you can know him. And some of you right now where you're sitting this morning realize that you're far from God, that you don't know him. You feel that he's a million miles away, but you know that there's something in your heart that's drawing you close to him. Well, the Bible tells us that that's the Holy Spirit. It says that the Holy Spirit draws you to God. That's like God, one verse describes it as like God is like knocking on the door of your heart. And some of you feel right now that God wants in. Well, what you need to know is that Jesus came to defeat sin. Jesus came to remove that barrier that exists between you and God, that you can pray and confess faith in Jesus. And when you do, it says that Jesus comes up and takes up residence inside you, that no more are you distant from God, but that God actually lives inside you. That when I talk about waiting on the Lord, when I talk about hearing from the Lord, it's possible because God lives in me. Jesus has taken up residence inside me by his Holy Spirit. And what salvation is basically is just you and God being close again.